Let's just pray for a minute. I pray, Lord, that you'll use my words of weakness and use them powerfully to your glory. Amen. Now, I'm sure you can't avoid, if you turn on the TV, you cannot avoid seeing about the terrible disaster with the cyclone in Burma and the results of that. And I think it's a double tragedy because not only have many people been killed and displaced by the cyclone, but also the Burmese military government have made matters worse by not accepting help offered to them by the international community. They initially allowed this tiny trickle of help to come in. They may be allowing a bit more aid to come in now, but they're still trying to keep a control of it, and those people aren't getting the help they really need. And I wonder if that government are a bit scared or suspicious of help from outside, and that's why they've taken so long to accept they need to open their borders up to foreign aid. Or maybe they initially thought they could deal with it on their own. They could sort it out. But when it became apparent to them they couldn't go it alone, they have grudgingly and gradually let a little bit of aid in. Now, today is the day of Pentecost, when we remember God's gift to us of his Spirit to help us. And this passage we've just heard from John 14 focuses on what the Spirit's like, the nature of the Holy Spirit, while the one from Acts shows the effects of the Holy Spirit, particularly in the section after, where the disciples go out and preach, and 3,000 people decide to follow Jesus that day. The Holy Spirit really helped them in doing that. So the Holy Spirit was a big help to the disciples then, and he's a big help to us today. So let's look at John 14 and the nature of the Spirit in John 14, as he's explained there by John. And the situation is, Jesus is talking to his disciples of this upcoming tragedy, as far as they're concerned, when he goes to face death on the cross. He knows very well that they're going to fall apart without him. With him dead, they won't be able to cope, and they all flee, as we know. Then he says, John 14, 28, you heard me say, I'm going away, and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. So he tells him he's going away to death on the cross, and then he'll come back in his resurrection. But they didn't really understand what he was saying. It was too much like bad news. They couldn't take it in. Maybe a bit like the Burmese government at first. They couldn't take it in, so they just didn't do anything. They didn't let anyone in. And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's going to come. Verse 16. I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I won't leave you as orphans. So Jesus, like a good parent, he wants to look after his children, and that's us. He doesn't want them and us to feel like orphans in the world. He doesn't want us to feel like orphans alone in the world. I'll not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So he not only literally comes back to his disciples as he appears to them after his resurrection, but he promises the helper, also translated as the counselor in the NIV, he promises them the helper, the Holy Spirit. And if you look up the clever people, I call them, you know, theologians, whatever, I tend to look at William Barclay and Tom Wright a lot, and they feel that the best translation of the Greek word that's used here is helper, helper. And William Barclay goes into a little more of the meaning of this helper and says that it means essentially someone who is called in, someone who is called in. So this person of the Holy, of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, is called in to help us in times of difficulty or need, and essentially is there to help us cope with things. The helper comes in to help us cope with life, with all its difficulties and all its joys. We've seen that in this service. We've had a baby born. We've had a tragedy with this poor young man murdered. And the Holy Spirit is there to help us cope with all those things. And he can help us too when we try to obey God's commands of love and find it hard. Because if you really look at what this says, John 14:15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Well, put your hand up then if you've always obeyed what God commands. Oh, I think he's joking. Because no one does it completely, do they? And the point is, we know that's really hard. And if it just stopped there, we'd all be very depressed indeed. But then Jesus moves on. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. It says counselor up there, but I'm translating it helper. The Spirit of Truth. It's very hard to show love and be faithful to God all the time. It's hard, and we need help to do it. And that's where the helper spirit comes in. And it's sometimes hard to tell others, maybe in our actions or our words, how great God is too. The first disciples found it hard. If you read on after this passage, they're in this room hiding away because they're scared of the authorities. And then when the Holy Spirit comes, they go out and they tell people about how great God is. They're empowered. They're helped to do that. And also, of course, he does lots of other things, and I can't go into all those things now. There isn't time. He helps us celebrate God's goodness, as we've been doing this morning. He helps us to praise God, focus on God, remember what the Bible says. The list is endless. So let's return to the Burma situation, because I think that sad situation in Burma can teach us some things this morning about the helper spirit. And please don't get me wrong here. I'm not comparing all of us sitting here to the Burmese military government. And I'm not comparing all our friends and our family and the community to the Burmese military dictators. But it is, I think, easy for us and others to be a bit like the Burmese government in our attitude to God's helper spirit. Maybe we think sometimes we can handle the challenges of life okay on our own. So we try and get on with things without too much reference to God, without accepting the help offered by his spirit, just as the Burmese government have tried to go it alone when faced with this awful disaster. They've refused help from the international community to a high degree. Then I wonder if we and others can be a bit like Burma in allowing a small amount of help, a trickle, to come through, but keeping it very firmly under control. Maybe, you know, they let that initial bit of aid in under their control and they still want to control things. They won't let the international people in. And maybe we can have a tendency to let that trickle in of God and try and control what he does. Or we know people who are doing that and we're trying to encourage them to open up to God. Maybe we find it easier to listen to God and act like a follower of Jesus on a Sunday, but we're not letting his helper spirit guide us on a Monday when we go into work. So I wonder if we and others, like the government in Burma, are also maybe a bit scared or suspicious of help from outside. And that's why we and they take so long to accept they need to open up their borders, open up their boundaries to help from outside. We can be like that with God. We might be suspicious of opening up to him 24/7 all week. But of course, that's the very reason that Jesus sent the helper spirit to us in the first place. It's in our fear. Those disciples were afraid, and yet they went out. It's in our fear that he sends the spirit to us. And maybe even the government of Burma will be less suspicious of outsiders helping them once they've received the help. I hope and pray, because I'm an optimist, I hope and pray that that might be the case. Jesus says in verse 16, I will ask the Father, he'll give you another helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. And I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. You see, we don't need to be afraid of opening up to God, because God is like a good parent to us. He doesn't want to leave us as orphans. He reassures us he's like a good parent. He doesn't want us to be scared or alone in the world. That's why he gives us the Helper Spirit. He genuinely wants us to help us, just as the international community genuinely does want to help the people of Burma. So the challenge is to open up to God's Helper Spirit 24/7 for all of us, all our friends, all our family. Let's allow God to come in more and help us. And on that theme, I just wanted Catherine, Peter had arranged for Catherine to come up because he got talking to her on the pilgrimage. And she's just going to come and chat about something she's up to at work, I think. Oh, there she is. Great. So do you want to tell us what you've been up to at work?
Okay. Just on this topic, I realized in my last job that I would get into work in the morning, work all day, go home, and not have thought about God at all in the whole day. And this was a pattern that was unfortunately true for most days. So I thought I needed to do something about it. I tried doing what some people do. They put verses up in their office and things like that. Didn't work for me because as soon as I put something up, I ignored it. So I thought there's got to be a better way. And I changed jobs at that point. And on day one, I'd come out of a meeting with a member of my team who said immediately to me, we have a meeting on Friday lunchtimes. Would you like to come? We read the Bible and we pray. And I thought, wow, that was an answer to prayer, because that was the first day I arrived at this company and there was somebody taking a risk. She was looking at me just to be sure I wasn't going to go, oh my word, you're a Christian or something. And I said, you know what, that's amazing, because I'm a Christian and I really wanted to hear something like that. I'm there. And so began for 2 years a meeting every Friday. And in fact, Richard Gordon came to speak to us once as well. And we just met and we prayed. And, you know, there were amazing answers to prayer in that group. And we prayed for the company, but we also prayed for each other. And we sat, some of us sat in the same floor, and when we were having a hard day, we would go into each other's office and just pray with each other. And it was a very amazing opportunity, and I was really privileged to be part of that. So when I came to this current new company, I thought, the first thing I need to do is find the Christian group. And it's a good way for me as well to remember that I'm a Christian in a work environment, because you can sort of, you know, compartmentalize your life. Work is, you know, all about going in and being, you know, sort of in charge and getting things done. And actually, you know, it's not really who we are. We are, you know, we are Christian people. So I looked up the internet, and true enough, there was a Christian group, contacted the leader who said, oh, yes, we meet. We've been meeting on a Monday at Blackfriars. And I work in the Canary Wharf office, so there was no way I was going to spend half an hour getting to Blackfriars and half an hour getting back and then an hour in between for a meeting. So I said, it just won't do for me. Can we have something in Canary Wharf? Lo and behold, he said, oh, yes, there's been somebody desperately praying to have a group in Canary Wharf, so you and she can get together and set this up. And so we met together, and we thought the best thing to do would be to have a big social evening to find out if there was interest, how many people would come, etc. So we did it on Shrove Tuesday this year, February, and we had 50 people turn up to the drinks evening. And from there, a group has started, and we meet on a Friday lunchtime. It's still a new group. We're still getting to know each other. We're not at the point where we can really trust each other yet, but we do pray. We pray for the firm and we pray for each other. And it's a real blessing. And for me, I think it's important because whenever I see these people around, it reminds me of who I am and why I'm there. And I know that God is working. He was working long before I became part of this organization. And I'm sure he'll continue to work. And the evidence of his work is all around me. So I'm very grateful for that.
So how would you say the fact you're a Christian affects the actual way you carry out your job? And does that interrelate with the group that you're part of?
It's very difficult because I don't think it's tangible. I have tried sort of making the odd comment to check. I look after a team of about 8 people and we sit in a very big open plan office. So I've tried to say things like, it's Rave Tuesday, we're having an event. And everyone looks at me, don't bring that Christian stuff here. So it is quite difficult to be overt in any way. But over the years, I've found that people are searching for something. There are a lot of people around. There's some people who are hurting about things. And there are people who are searching for, you know, whatever it is. I mean, it's different things to different people. And you're often in a situation where you're being used by God, I think, to say things. You don't realize at the time how important it is to that person. And I've had people come back to me and say, do you remember we had that conversation in a bar? You know, you typically have these conversations in bars. And it really meant something, and I've changed my life now, and it's something, something. Now, they didn't become Christians, but they found, you know, a way of dealing with things. And at the time, of course, I didn't have a clue what was going on. You know, and I think that is about letting the Holy Spirit use you, as he does, I think, all of us at different times.
Thank you very much. That was great. Thank you. So there's maybe a few ideas about trying to serve God all week. It's different for everybody, you know. But I think often we don't realize what God has done in us. And I want to encourage you today. Jesus says there, God is in you. We are in you. And all of you people sitting here, if you have faith in Jesus, God is in you. So when you go out, sometimes you don't realize the effect you're having. And I've experienced this as well. You know, people will be helped by something and you think, I don't even remember saying that, you know. So God is in you, and I'd encourage you just to try and allow him to help you and help others this week and every week. So let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we pray for ourselves. We pray that you'll help us to open up more to your Spirit's help throughout the whole week, in whatever situation we find ourselves. Help us to focus on you and to be open to you. And Lord, we think too of our friends, our family. There's lots of people I can think of, Lord, who kind of let you trickle into their lives, a bit like that help trickling into Burma. But they never really open up. So we lift those people we're thinking of now to you. Or if that's us, help us to open up to you, Lord. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.